You came from, you're going to CrossFit?
Yeah, I just came from CrossFit. So if I'm like breathing a little bit heavier than normal, then that's why.
Do you have to keep in a certain kind of shape because you're in the military?
I'm in the Air National Guard, and the shape that I need to keep in is embarrassing. Like the minimum standard is like is not hard.
Do they have like a check-in like once a year? Or?
You have there's like a PT test. You do like a run and some push-ups and shit once a year to make sure you can do it. And
how many push-ups do you have to do?
It's 57 for me. 57 in a row.
Oh, so it's different for every person?
It depends on your age. And if you're a lady,
do girls get to do them on their knees?
No. I think they're like 48 or something like that. They have to do more sit-ups though. So it's, I don't know. But I've never failed it.
I find it interesting that they give women a lower number.
I mean, it's not like, It's all a joke because
it's like the lady tees at a golf course.
Yeah, but it's like there's literally, what are we doing all day? We're sitting at a desk. Like no one's carrying a fucking body over the shoulder in the Air National Guard. Maybe you will, but like if that's what's happening, you'd be happy for anyone to show up if the Air National Guard is coming, you know.
Or maybe you're just carrying a body out of an office. Maybe somebody accident.
You're right.
There's a horrible at work accident.
Oh yeah.
So you guys never have like a Black Hawk Down moment? Like you've never had a situation where you hear the Black Hawk Down music where it's like, like you've never been like just opening an email and that music comes on and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah. I mean, I was just in Somalia and, you know, that song plays in my whitewashed head of like, this is...
As you're landing,
look at me experiencing this foreign culture.
How is Somalia these days?
Not good. Not good. Oof.
This week on the show, we have a special guest, somebody not just who gets on a stage, but actually you own the stage.
Built that stage.
There you go.
Two hands.
Two-handed. Yeah.
Uphill both ways to build that stage. I took wood out of the three trees in Astoria.
See, just because you build the stage doesn't mean you're any better on it. That's
true.
That's the great thing about comedy.
Yeah, but...
ladies and gentlemen, the owner of Grove 34 Studios and also very funny comedian, Rob Rigo.
Thanks, Nick.
Did I stutter your confidence after...
Oh yeah! Lock up your daughters. It's the Problemos Podcast.
Es hora de otro podcast de mierda.
And now your host, Nick Milton.
Y ahora dos retrasados.
How old were you? Were you 18 when you joined the military, or were you?
I joined after college. I joined like in college. I did the ROTC thing or ROTC, and then so I was like 20. I was probably like 18, and then finished college, and then joined, and then.
What was the reason you got into it?
My dad was in the Army, and then I didn't want to join the Army, but then after like my freshman year, I fucked that up so bad where I was just like drinking and you know, mm-hmm. just playing video. Not even cool. I wasn't even getting laid or doing drugs. Like I literally just was just drinking and playing video games and like just failed all my classes. And I'm like, you can't do that. So
yeah, there's some people who get kicked out of the military with someone yelling at them. And then there's certain people who get kicked out of the military with somebody going, just get out.
Just get out.
Yeah. You were a just get out. There was nobody being like, you're a loose cannon. Get the hell out of here. It was Just go. Okay, so that's how you got in.
Yeah.
And then you... So what's the... How do you go... What's the... Because I know, like, if you just join the Army, you're in the Army. But, like, you said you joined ROTC.
Yeah, so I joined ROTC, and then I... I was active duty, so like it was my full-time job. I lived in Virginia. That's where I started comedy, down Stephen Bowles. I don't know if you know
him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I started with him in 20...
Parappa the Rapper.
Parappa the Rapper. In 2013, I moved down there, started comedy, and then I just did a desk job for the Air Force, like just a... It's called Manpower, and I would do Excel spreadsheets all day. And I wanted to become a pilot, so I applied to be a pilot. They wanted me to become a drone pilot, so I tried it. No, not dope. And then I tried to switch to, so I like, the people were like, you should look at the Guard. Mm-hmm. The Guard, which is the part-time military, they hire pilots. So I called them, and I got hired in Puerto Rico. So I went down to the Puerto Rico Guard. Then they sent me to pilot training, and then I was there, and I would be still flying for Puerto Rico, but they had a plane crash while I was in pilot training.
Oh.
And a friend of mine died on that plane.
Oh, my God.
And then they never flew again, so they lost their planes. Like, they took them away. So, yeah. So then I switched to, then I went to Connecticut.
And wait, do you fly, for the military, or you also fly commercial?
No, just the military now.
Just military. Yeah. But did you do commercial?
I did. I used to be like an instructor pilot, so I would teach people how to fly. And then I would, like, just at a local civilian school. And then I did a charter flying. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like where we'd pick up rich people from Teterboro, New Jersey, and fly them out to the Hamptons so that they didn't have to sit in a car for 4 hours.
Have you ever done anything like a helicopter? I imagine it's completely different than an airplane.
It is, yeah. I've never flown a helicopter. Never even been in one.
Are helicopter guys like more badass than pilot guys?
Are those
like the most like when you like look at like the guys like fly, like a flying guys were like in high school, right?
Yeah.
Are like the burnouts, like the guys who are like ready to die at any minute, like are those the helicopter guys? Because like helicopter guy feels like a guy that's like in every movie, that's the guy who's like always the closest to like either just losing it or like that's the guy they have to pull out of a gutter for a mission.
For sure, for sure.
Like it's always like, well, we got a helicopter. We got to find somebody to fly a fucking helicopter. It's like not a plane. It's like, yeah, it's a helicopter. And then they're like, all right, let me go down to the bar. There's this one guy. Let me see if he's got a gun in his mouth right now.
He's been sober long enough to do this.
And that's always the guy's like, yeah, I can get you there. I can fly it.
I don't interact with a lot of helicopter pilots. I'm sure that's right.
Of course, you know, I'm not holding you this, but do you think helicopter is a harder
thing to fly?
Fly than a plane?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Did you see that video that the other day that they had of the two helicopters that crashed into each other?
No.
Somebody was...
send me that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's... And it's somebody's phone. They're recording it while it happened.
Oh, shit.
So they're in, and you can see, like, they're like... I forget where it's at. It might have been New York.
Yeah.
And they're, like, over, like, the river and stuff, and they're flying, and, like, the, you know, the guy's flying them, and it's, like, looks like a group of, like, rich white people.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't feel that bad about what happened. And then at one point, you just see this hand come from the back, like slapping the pilot on the shoulder, being like there, like pointing. And the pilot just looks to his right. And the next thing you know, you just see glass shatter everywhere.
Well, how'd they get the video? Are they okay?
I guess the phone. No, everybody died.
Oh. Yeah,
everybody's dead. But they got the, I guess maybe like the
phone. Survived.
The phone survived.
It's all back. Yeah. I saw a fucked up
waterproof
thing.
Phones. There you go, folks.
I saw this.
Forget Lil Wayne dumping champagne on a phone. Like, the real test of the durability of a phone is if it can get slammed into by a helicopter.
Will my final video survive a plane crash?
Yeah. It's like the new black box is these phones.
There's a... Yeah, right.
That's what we should do. We should just keep a bunch of phones on the planes, and then when they go down, just retrieve the phones.
I'm sure the I saw this video of, like, in some, like, Nepal-looking country... They were a plane crash. They were live. They were able to save the video from some guy was live streaming. Like, he got a signal on approach on his phone, and he starts like live streaming on like Facebook, and the plane like got too slow, stalled out, and crashed. And like, so you see the people like in the plane, like, crash and die.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy. Like, that's a crazy fucking...
Have you ever had any, like, close calls while flying?
Yes. I had one time I was, there was two times that I did like really stupid stuff. One time was like the, I just got my private pilot's license.
I was going to say how early into.
Yeah, this was like literally the weekend I got it. And then I like invited a friend to go fly with me. We're going to go to, Harrisburg, Virginia, and leaving from like Norfolk area. And we take off, we get there late. We take off late. I'm like not like, I'm just like willy nilly, just whatever. This is be fun. And we're like flying along and like, it's getting dark, which I hadn't planned for. And then I'm like, we're flying along. And I start to, I like just like look at my, like at my, this chart I had. And I like, I don't even like, I was such a like piece, like I shouldn't have been doing this. Like I just didn't, wasn't at the skill level. And I like looked at this number on the chart and I'm like, what does that number mean? And I'm like, maybe it's like an altitude. Let me climb to that altitude. And like, but like, just like, I remember like after the fact, I remember thinking like that was a, like that, like it was just such a random like moment I had of just like look, just like staring at my chart, God. Just out of boredom and like looking at that and like thinking about it. And then like, huh, okay. And then like, and then I'm like, yeah, we'll climb up there and we'll go. So we climbed up a little bit and then we get to the airport. It's at night. And like, we find the airport, we come down and land, everything's fine. And then the next morning, like I almost like shit my pants. Cause it's like the fucking, it's the Shenandoah Valley. It's like the Blue Ridge Mountains are right there. Like we literally, there's a mountain on the side.
I was going to say, was that number airport. Basically saying like, that's what you have to be at yeah, to not hit this
to
mountain?
To not hit the airport. To not hit the.
And you just casually were like, yeah, I guess I should just get up there.
Another one was like a little bit more accidental, but like I was teaching a student and we got into some weather and I got like spatially disoriented. And this is like, this happens and they warn you about it. And this was good because like the training worked where like you start, like your senses trick you where you feel like you're flying straight and you're not, or something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're in the weather, because like you're in the weather and like you might be like this and like whatever, and you don't realize it. You really don't.
Cause you're not seeing the ground.
You're not seeing the ground. You're just, it's you're in clouds. Right. Like, so it's like there's nothing out the window. So you're looking at like your instruments is mm-hmm. how you're flying. And I also like wasn't, I hadn't flown instrument in a, like this plane before. And I really shouldn't have been, just because, but it was just like the clouds came in. I am instrument rated, but not like I wasn't as an instructor. And the plane, like, so I was like looking for the lights on the instruments to try to make, cause it gets dark when you're in the clouds. And I'm trying to get everything going. And I remember just like feeling like something was wrong. And I was like, I don't know what. And then the thing that ticked me off was the sound. I could hear like the plane, like, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right.
Cause
it's not as like, we're going too fast.
Uh-huh.
And then I finally like, recognized what I was doing, like really looked at what that was supposed to be looking at. And yeah, we were like in a nosedive. And even like, and then, so like you do the stuff to like recover from it. And like, you know, we were a couple hundred feet above the ground, and even like ATC had like questioned, like called me like immediately. I was like, are you guys all right? And I was like, yes. And like literally like came out like a second later out of the clouds and like saw the airport and like landed right away and was totally fine. And the lady who I was instructing, like, again, no idea that we were like literally in a downward spiral towards the ground. But, and I came home that night and like my wife was like, How was the flight? Like, she was like in bed because it was like a late night thing, and she's like, "How was the flight?" I was like, "Oh, it was good." And, like, I just like sat there like in bed with my eyes open for like an hour. But yeah, so those are.
I wonder how many people have jobs like that like have those moments and come home and their wives are immediately like, "Did he cheat on me today? What the fuck is? Why is he so weird about this?" It's like a near death experience is the same reaction. Especially too, because you don't want to admit that. You don't want to be like,
no, yeah.
So just so you know, every day that thing I go to do.
sometimes I fuck up.
Sometimes
and I almost die.
I just start aiming for the ground with the front of the plane.
More Problemos podcast after a word from our sponsors.
Brewed back in 1975, the people at Miller didn't just want to make any light beer. They made Miller Lite. A true American Pilsner. It tastes great, and it's less filling. It's the original light beer. Let me give you a little testimonial about Miller Lite. Some years back, I was having a birthday, and I decided I wanted to go out with a group of my friends. We specifically went to a bar for no other reason than it served Miller Lite. We arrived at the bar, and after about a dozen or so Miller Lights just for myself, which is only possible due to the fact that it is truly less filling, we noticed that a group of 8 to 10 beautiful, and I mean strikingly gorgeous, young ladies had entered the bar. And I welcomed these 10 young women into the bar, and I asked them why they were out, because one of them was wearing a little sash, and they informed me that it was her 21st birthday. And myself, on over a dozen Miller Lights, feeling fantastic, as I stated, I informed her that the reason we were out was that my uncle had molested all of us, and that every year we got together to celebrate the day that he blew his brains out in a garage. And I informed them that we should combine parties. They exited the bar, and I gotta say, that moment, that's a classic Miller Lite moment. America's favorite light beer, Miller Lite.
We now return you to the Problemos Podcast.
Being, you know, in the military, the thing is that they always say, you die for your country. And I'm sure all military guys would. My question is, though, if you could just be like, all right, I'll die for most of the country. Like, if you had to say out of the 50 states, say you knew you're going to die for your country, and they were like, look, here's the thing. I'll give you two states. Two states go with you. Which two states are you willing to be like,
yeah,
you know what? I'm not dying for you. You're coming with me on this one. Like,
does this terrorist group want Iowa? You know,
they can take, that's the trade. The U.S. government is making that trade with the terrorist group. They're like, all right, we're going to give you Rob Rigo plus two states of his choosing.
Damn.
And they're like, all right, that's cool. No more war.
No more.
So you can take two states with you. Which two states do you think are the least deserving of your life?
I mean, it's got to be Florida. Right.
Florida? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I was wondering, because there's a lot of ways you can look people. At this. You can go with, like, you know, do you want to go low population? Are you trying to, like, keep it to a minimum? Are you going for the type of people there? Are you going for, like, more of, like, you know, they ain't got a lot going on there. There's a lot of people there, but there ain't a lot going on there, so maybe I'm doing them a favor. Or, you know, are you spiteful? Is there, like, a thing, like, you visited some place one time, and you were like, I fucking hate everybody in Nashville. So yeah. You're like, all of them.
If I could get my family out, I'd say New Jersey.
Okay.
If I can get, and then, yeah, New Jersey and Florida.
New Jersey and Florida. That's an interesting combo.
I think it's the right answer.
Okay. Now, can I throw some either ors at you?
Sure.
Okay. Philly or Boston?
I mean, my personal experience says Philly. I like Philly more.
Okay.
But you know, I haven't really spent a ton of time in Boston.
Aren't you from Rhode Island?
I know. I was not that far from it. I'm not from Rhode Island. I grew up in Jersey.
Oh, right.
I used to live in Groton, Connecticut, which is, you know, 2 hours from Boston.
Okay. So you're saying let Boston go?
I probably would let Boston go. It's, you know, it's like the same amount of trash, but like a little bit more pretentious about it or something. I don't know. You know, they got.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a little elite, like elitism there. You got all your schools.
I've always said, I think, you know, if Philly had as many sports championships as Boston at this point,
okay,
they'd probably be way worse people. I think
yeah.
Their failures are yeah. the only thing that's kept them tolerable to most people.
Sure.
Like, people still look at them like they're problems.
But I also, like, I mean, also like, you know, all the funniest comedians are out of Boston, or like the most funny comedians are out of Boston, and they, I don't know.
What about Disney adults? Would you be willing to
absolutely.
If you died and they told you, like...
I would grant them the sweet relief of death. Like, where you the thing you're searching for, the Disney in the sky, I'm going to take you there.
All right, so here's something funny. Because you're in the military, one of my favorite internet...
Stolen Valor.
Yeah, I don't know what you would call... What is it? It's not a prank video. It's like a confrontation video, I guess you could call it. Are these Stolen Valor videos. There's nothing that makes... I think Stolen Valor is so funny for a couple reasons. I understand why it's not funny, because there are real people who serve and people lose their lives, and it's not... There is like a credit that they should be given that shouldn't just be given to other people. I get that. But also, on the flip side... Who thinks that the military is that cool?
Yeah, exactly.
Of all the things to fake that you are.
No one's... You wear... Put a Medal of Honor and walk around. Like, even that... Like,
I'm super pro-troop, but, like, literally, like, the army is not fucking... It's not Mensa.
Yeah.
It doesn't... There's not, like, a real high bar to get into the military these days.
Yeah.
Like... Of all the, but maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the easiest.
It's just easy to do. That is probably
thing to like say. Unfortunately, though,
I mean, anyone could buy a uniform. That's pretty easy to do.
So, yeah, it's come a long way though. Like, I guess, because I mean, back in the a long time ago, it was like the whole thing of like troops, getting spit on coming off of planes and stuff like that. And you saw a homeless veteran, like they were like, people were like, fuck you and stuff like that. My uncle used to tell stories about being called a baby killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He wasn't even in the military. He was an abortion doctor. But he there was a lot of that. And then, just like how Stranger Things, right, made 80s media popular.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, there was different things that, like, Boogie Nights and stuff like that. And, like, that 70s show has kind of, like, kept, bell bottoms and, like, 70s style alive, right? In the same way, 9/11 made the military cool again.
Yeah.
After 9/11, the military, in the 90s, it was kind of like a thing where it was just, like, the military was pretty much like postmen.
Yeah.
In the early 90s.
Yeah.
The Iraq war, that thing was so quick.
Yeah.
We were kind of over it after a couple months. 9/11 hits and suddenly military's hot.
Yeah.
It is a very hot thing to be in the military. And that stayed for, I'd say, a good 10, 15 years. Ever since the pandemic, we've had like a little bit of a thing where everybody's like, police state, fuck the police state. We don't need that. So I think the military's getting a little, they've dropped a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now everybody's like, hey, like, don't, what the fuck with the guns and fucking the flags and shit like that.
Yeah.
So, but still in the middle of the country, still red hot. It's still red hot to be military. And some people steal the valor of that for, I guess.
To get a free chicken sandwich.
Yeah, to get a free chicken sandwich, to get a free small Coke at Auntie Anne's Pretzel at the mall. I don't know what. Okay, so there's a couple things you're going to notice a lot of, okay? A lot of people that are begging for money that are homeless wear camo.
Because they get it for free, and they got a Goodwill or whatever.
Yes.
That
is one trend you're going to see with a lot of Stolen Valor is guys who are clearly on the skids of life that are just trying to get some change in a cup.
And these people,
literally, this guy is walking this guy out into traffic to confront him.
Yeah, it's so sad that you're like feel the need to chase this guy down.
Here's another one. This guy is a man who looks he looks like he's wearing a fake person mask, and that's actually his real face.
Yeah, he took that face off a real veteran
who's
in his basement right now.
And once again, nothing about this man reads well.
Like, yeah.
Nothing about this person. These all seem like people who have a mental or physical problem.
Yeah, let's go harass mentally ill people.
Like, I'm not saying it's good to impersonate. Like, that's why we had, like, I understand why you can't. There's that. There was a famous video that went viral a couple years ago of the guy who got busted inside of a Best Buy.
Yeah.
Because he flashed a fake FBI badge, and he was basically like going around saying he's FBI. Now, that can be something that you need to crack down on, because if somebody's going around faking that they're a cop, faking that they're FBI, there's a lot of things that they could fucking do that could be a problem.
For sure. And if someone's getting like media attention or like, you know, someone's like actually figuring out how to profit off of military service,
it's going
to
come back.
That's different. And, like, and like, that'd be funny to shame them. But like, yeah, this mentally handicapped guy in the fucking leaves over here, like,
a lot of these people are either homeless or they seem like they're mentally disabled in some way, or they have some sort of learning disability. And it's like, I don't think that they're out there. Like, none of these guys are like working their way into like a nuclear testing site. These are all guys that are like fucking walking around mall food courts.
Yeah, like we do a sketch where it's like an actual spy.
Yeah,
that you're like accusing of. He gets caught by the fucking mall police.
That's the thing. Yeah, nobody that's breaking in the White House ever gets accused of false valor, stealing valor. It's just not that. It's not a thing. Now, here's my question: what if we gave them a little valor? What if that was the way? What if you're caught with stolen valor, just let these guys take a couple shots at you. Like, if you have a sidearm, fire it at their feet, chase them around a little bit. Maybe we invite all the people convicted of stolen valor, all the people who get in trouble for it. We just bring them to, like, a convention center, and then we just shoot some live rounds at them. We're nothing above the waist. We're going to aim for below the waist, put a landmine somewhere in there, and then when they come out, guess what? They can wear their fake fatigues all they want.
I don't think doing military Squid Games gets you valor. Like, I think you got to go.
How about?
You got to go harass people in third world countries for that. Nick, come on.
Oh, here's a guy who looks like he's got a lot going on.
Oh, it's too tight, bro.
Can I tell you, like, there's a few of these. There's a few of these, too, where it's like a foreign person who speaks, like, no English.
Yeah.
And it's like the way they go, they're like, they're trying to, like, all the questions they ask, usually, like, they have to, like, it takes them forever because, like, they don't even understand what they're asking.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, at that point, maybe you can just be like, yeah, this person's, like,
yeah.
This might be just somebody who found these clothes at a Goodwill. Like, I don't know. Yes, I mean it. Like, there's one guy, he's Spanish, and they're like, so you in the Marines? He goes, Marine Corps. He goes, yeah. He goes, what's your title? He goes,
Marine Corps.
And he goes, yeah, what's your title in the Marine Corps? What do they call you in the Marine Corps? If you have to ask somebody, what do they call you in the Marine Corps? And they answer with,
in the Marine Corps.
You can just assume this person is not really in the Marine Corps, and maybe there's a reason other than they're trying to steal valor.
These are very funny because it's so much.
By the way, black people love stealing valor.
Crazy.
There's a lot of black stolen valor. And I'll tell you what, black stolen valor is the funnest stolen valor. And by the way, let's just give it to the black guys. Okay, we've given enough. Haven't we treated black people bad enough in this country? If they want to steal some valor, let them fucking have some valor, okay?
I'm going to bring some uniforms to Brooklyn this weekend.
I saw one of a black guy. He's at a truck stop just trying to get a fucking ride.
Yeah.
And they're, like, fucking harassing him because, like, somebody's, like, he was wearing, like, something that said he was in the military. And they're like, you really in the military? And he's like, yeah. And I guess, like, he was just trying to, like, fucking get someplace.
Yeah.
And they start harassing him. And it's like, you know, remember in Hateful Eight? When Sam Jackson produces the letter from Abraham Lincoln, you see how nothing's changed in all these years? The ways that a black man, how hard it is for a black man in this country to just get a fucking ride, like the things they have to do. Yeah. It's not because he wants the valor. It's because he needs to get someplace.
Yeah. Damn.
Although I did see one time there was a black guy who was doing stolen valor, and I've told me and CW watched this video. It was so fucking funny. This guy shows up at this place, and he's wearing like an all-white officer's outfit, and to say this guy had a lot of medals, like he had so many fucking medals.
That is
just like, as he's walking away from the guy questioning him, all you can hear is the chingling, like the
Listen, that's what I'm going to make a video. How to steal valor. And it's like, first of all, low rank. Yeah, you don't want to explain any medals. Here's three medals that everyone gets. You can just have these. And this is the document that has like how you wear it. Just like read that.
You know what? And these guys, like, they love these fucking Jack Ryan and all these fucking Bourne supremacy shit. Learn something from those things. Whenever Matt Damon breaks into a military office, does he try to dress up like a general? Yeah. No, he goes as the lowly like guy who guards the door.
Yeah.
By the way, a lot of these guys who call out these guys, my favorite one of the things I've noticed is a lot of guys who call out Stolen Valor, at some point in the video, you will see their giant vape thing come into shot as they're pointing at somebody. Like they're always pointing at a guy telling him, I know somebody who died in that uniform. And then their hand comes into the shot and they've got one of those, they look like a brick.
Yeah.
But it's those kind of vape. Where's the one of the guy?
The key to confronting someone's Stolen Valor. First, you want to take a big hit of your vape.
Yeah, you got to get
up. You might need it.
Got to get up some courage. Oh, here's. So how do we fix this, Rob? You're a military guy. How would you, what would be the pound of flesh you think these guys should give to be allowed to keep doing their.
If their uniform is not correct. I mean, like Hollywood. Like, so there's like this weird fucking rule where like in Hollywood, if you ever see someone wearing a military uniform, mm-hmm. there's like some weird thing that's like off about it. Because and they pick like they it's very subtle that you won't recognize unless you're really looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the rank is like a quarter inch too high because you can't have
it can't be exactly
it can't be a real you can't be stealing valor.
Right.
So as long as the uniform's not being worn properly, you are not stealing valor. Like that's not like if you're wearing it properly. Then so it's like none of these people are doing it. Like you'd have to confront someone who is wearing like. Who was whatever? They had everything on correctly.
Okay.
And it's like they're walking around the mall. Like, how is this stealing valor? Like, is anyone getting something for free? Like, what is?
Yeah. Once again, I love the troops. I support the troops, but I'm gonna be honest. And that's shouldn't that really be the punishment? Is that those people when they go home at night, if they're not mentally insane?
Yeah.
They have to somewhere deep down inside know the best thing I could fake.
Oh yeah,
was army guy.
Army, the thing that like anyone's invited to join. Yeah,
exactly. You know that thing that I pretended I was when I was six.
Yeah.
More Problemos podcast after a word from our sponsors.
Manscaped.com. This is a product for shaving hair off your dick and balls.
Yes.
The Manscaped Lawnmower 2.0. Let's talk about it. It's got skin-safe technology. Replaceable ceramic blades featuring skin-safe technology are set back from the edge 3 millimeters and precision-engineered for maximum confidence while trimming below the waist. They're telling you basically that you're not going to cut your dick off. It's also waterproof. This thing, you can use it in the shower. You can use it while you're sitting in your tub. You can do it at a water park if you want. You can get right into the lazy river and just be going around on an inner tube and just trimming your ball
hair. That's illegal, actually. You know that?
Is it?
Public indecency, yeah.
I don't think so. I think lazy river is international waters. Once you're on the lazy river, anything goes. This thing also works with 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology, because, you know, there's nothing worse than when you're shaving your balls if you have roommates. Everybody knows either you got a dildo up your ass or you're shaving your balls. That's the only vibration noise that comes out of a room when nobody's allowed to go in.
Shaving your balls, a dildo, or you're hiding the Iron Giant in the bathroom.
So
this is beeping and buzzing.
But you don't have to worry about that with Manscaped. No one's going to know you're shaving your balls. Also, the motor, like we said, 7,000 RPMs. If I knew what one RPM was worth, I'm sure I could give you a better understanding of how powerful that is. But let's just say it's powerful, or else they wouldn't be talking about it. It's got a wireless charging system. And then, hey, guess what? If you're like Jada Pinkett Smith and you can't grow hair on your dick and balls because you have some sort of weird disease that you use for attention, guess what? You can also use the weed whacker. That's for your nose and your ears.
Oh.
I get ear hair every once in a while.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, it's very annoying, especially when you have a woman sucking on your ear. You're always thinking, is she getting little ticklies on her tongue from my ear hair? Sure. You don't have to worry about that anymore. The Manscaped products, I can't say enough about them. They also have these ball deodorants, which are great. You would like that. You like putting stuff on your balls.
That's not that. I just, you know, I need to put something on my balls.
Well, you should go to Manscaped. They have ball deodorant.
That's perfect for me.
What are you putting on it now?
Nothing. Just spit. I chew a bunch of juicy fruit. And I spit on the balls for the...
A little bit of winter fresh.
Yeah, a little winter fresh. Give them that mittenness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Manscaped, it's great for all these things. Yeah. You can make sure that you don't perform a Dwayne Wade and chop your dick off because you a male. And you also can keep your ear hair down, your nose hair down. You can keep your balls smelling great. It's a great product. I highly suggest it. I don't own it. I don't know anybody who does. But from the amount of commercials that I keep hearing for it, I'm assuming some people are buying it.
I own a Manscaped. And oh, do you? It's really useful and effective.
Yes.
My life before I got one, my life after I got one.
Okay, that's a good question. How is your life different since you got the Manscaped
before
Lawnmower 2.0?
Every time my girlfriend would go down there, she'd put some nose clamps on, and then she'd pray with a rosary. Now she's happy to go. That's about it. Can I get a quick sidebar?
Yeah.
All these ball deodorants leads a girl where it's like, now I'm always down there just sucking his balls. It's like, who's sucking balls all the time?
That's... I'm going to tell you right now, this is a great thing if you're one of those guys from the Blue Chew ad who realizes you should be sucking balls instead of trying to be with women because you can't get your dick hard.
You know, the smell gets in the way.
Guess what? Now, if all of a sudden it becomes, oh man, I'm sucking balls and I'm still not getting hard, it might be because of the smell.
Right.
Get this for the guy whose balls you're sucking. Tell him, hey, put these on here. I made a life-changing decision to start sucking balls instead of being with women. The least you can do is make it a little bit easier for me.
A doctor, I've been sucking dudes not getting hard. What do the balls smell like?
Manscaped.com.
You got it.
We now return you to the Problemos Podcast.
Now, you have a comedy club.
I do.
It's called Grove 34.
Grove 34.
How'd you come up? What's the name, subscribe, by the way?
Names are really hard to come up with a name.
Yes.
It's, you know, band names and podcast names could be a little bit more playful. But a business name, like, it's so cringe. Most names are awfully cringe, right? Mm-hmm. Or just boringly corporate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, BlackRock or, you know, like a something partner.
I don't know. BlackRock sounds pretty hard. I like that.
That's just the name of the big, like with a big hedge fund company. But it's like, mm-hmm. It's like Black. There's literally Blackstone is another place. It's just like hard, strong C's.
Yeah, it's like, what do you want?
LLC.
What do you want to bash the head of a poor person with?
Yes.
A big BlackRock. A rock as black as my soul.
All these names have, like, most corporate names have no meaning or significance whatsoever. And then if you think of, like, something like super artsy or like, if you really try to kind of push away from that, think about, like, The Creek in the Cave, which is a kind of a, like, now in our heads, that sounds kind of, we have, like, an emotional attachment to the story of that place. But if we had no story of Creek in the Cave and I was pitching you a business and I'm like, we should call it Creek in the Cave, you'd be like, that's fucking stupid, right?
Well, yeah, that's how most names, yeah.
Yeah, so just to say, like, so that's what names are. Names earn it after a while. Like, you get to, after you succeed, beer. See, the Comedy Cellar, that's a boring name. It's the Comedy Cellar, The Stand. Like, those, they're legendary in my mind and heart. But if they didn't exist and someone was pitching that as a new business, I'd be like, the gotcha. Comedy Cellar, that's boring, you know. Anyway, so Grove is just like
Bohemian Grove. Is that where you got the big Alex Jones fans? You decide
34 from the street. It's gotcha. And then also like that's what Studio 54 did. So we're kind of just like doing that trend that's been redone so many times.
Okay, so you guys, that is okay. So people listening, it's like the Studio 54 of comedy places.
We are. I mean, we do the my big like philosophy with this place that I've been trying.
Why Grove though?
Grove because Grove is a like a fertile ecosystem for growth. And it's like this place of meeting. It's kind of like a light dew and a place to be like safe in a forest to like for evolution. So you can, the point is like, it's a place where it's like, okay, we're going to go, let's be silly here. Let's kind of punish or not punish, but like, let's push down that feeling of cringe as we like look to try to do something new, because just like the name, everything new is stupid. Like you just have to like create a space where it's like, all right, we're all going to do this. And when you say something stupid, we're all going to just be like, no, good. Keep going. Like there's no whatever. And I know that's hard and it's still something we're working on, but that's something what we want. And just like experimenting with, you know, all the different mediums, all the different forms of, you know, the internet now, and then mixing that with comedy and trying to do something that's new and unique and interesting. And that's like, so that's kind of like what a Grove is to us. But I mean, like, you know, that word is, there's a bunch of places called Grove and yeah, so that's the name.
So that's the name.
I feel a need to defend it because it's like names are stupid, but.
Well, I mean, I, when we were coming up with the name for this podcast, when me and CW were coming up with the name, we had like, I think 20 names that I remember. It
yeah.
was just, I've even the podcast we, the best example of this was the podcast we had before this one that we did where it was me, CW and my friend Mo. It was called Fuck That Guy. And the whole reason it got that name was because we spent, before we decided we were even going to start doing a podcast, we were like, let's do a podcast. We're like, okay. And we were like, okay, so what are we going to call it? And we spent, I'm not lying, I think a good 2 weeks just
yeah.
texting every day yeah. names. And nothing,
yeah.
nothing stuck. And then one night we were just sitting around and we were watching Big Money Rustlers, which is the ICP Western movie. And we're watching it. And then like right after it, there was a Steven Seagal movie on, and me and Mo were just sitting there. We're like, man, fuck this dude. And then I'm like, all right, who's more fuck this dude? Steven Seagal, or do you feel more fuck this dude about ICP? And we were debating it, and we were having like a bunch of laughs and stuff. And I was like, you know what? That should just be what it's called. Fuck
yeah,
that guy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
like, let's just like keep doing this where we just shit on people. And that was that's the way it came about. But like, it's so hard to like find a name that like feels right. Even like when, you know, before fucking my co-host decided to go AWOL, Problemos, I like the name.
Yeah.
Now that it's just me, I really don't like the name because now it just feels like when it's one person doing the show, it feels like this is like a self-help show. Like, hey, do you have Problemos? This guy can fix them. No, the original idea was, the idea was Problemos was a noun, a plural noun, and me and CW were the Problemos. Now it's just like
Problemo.
Yeah, it's one Problemo.
Damn.
Yeah, so a name can be a real pain in the ass to come up with. That's why I always think it's interesting, like when people change their names, like for, like to become like a show business, like the names they choose.
Like what? Like Lady Gaga.
Or no, even like just like you'll hear about like celebrities that like they their last name it doesn't, you know,
oh,
doesn't
okay.
fit, and it's like you got to come up with a better name, kid.
Yeah,
like Dirk Diggler and Boogie Nights, like that's a classic one of like that one actually works. Like Dirk Diggler, like that's a good one. Like if you're gonna start doing porn, you got to come up with a name, and it's like I don't know what's the way to go. I know a lot of porn stars go with the take a famous person's name already and just tweak it a tiny bit.
Okay.
Then you have people that just go for something filthy.
Do you like Nick Milton?
I've never liked my last name.
You never
As
liked it?
As a kid, I hated my last name. If I could change my last name, Bronson.
Nick Bronson?
If I had a son, I would name my son Bronson.
you know, you could just like, you don't have to like legally change it. You could just change it, you know?
A lot of comedians do that.
A lot of comedians, and I don't blame them, you know? It's like at first, again, everything in the beginning is going to...
Rob Rigo sounds good.
Rob Rigo
rolls off the tongue well. It's good for a poster.
Yep. It's alliteration and it's short. Like mm-hmm. Bill Burr, yes. Rob Rigo, it's good.
Yes. One of the many things that you two are alike.
Yeah. We're both balding aviators.
There you go.
But yeah, so, but I mean like, yeah, people change their name. And again, like if you change it now, you would be, people would, you know, people who know you will tease you about it, but you could also destroy them too. So that's fine.
That helps. can I tell you, when I was doing stand up in Pittsburgh, I remember, two guys, I don't think I've told this story on here. I've told it maybe on the old podcast, but two of my favorite like name changes.
Yeah.
One was a name change and one was a straight up just like not a real name.
Yeah.
Was so first off, there was this guy who used to come to all the open mics. By the way, his name, his real name, Rex Franklin.
Hell yeah.
Great name.
Yeah.
You don't need to do anything with that. He would show up as, this was how you spelled it, the letter M, period, T, period, last name Pockets. Empty pockets. And his whole act was about being poor.
Hell yeah.
And even better, he used to bring on stage, even at open mics, he had a license plate that was like about probably like 5 feet high and like 8 feet across. And it folded, and he would walk up at an open mic, get on stage, unfold it, so it was behind him while he did his open mic set.
So he has like a backdrop. For so he has a backdrop. Special,
and it's this license. It's a Pennsylvania license plate that said MTPCKTS.
I respect that.
Yeah. So empty pockets. then the other guy was this guy who he was the term we use on this show that we've established is Wigrow. Wigrow is I think you can guess what that means. So it's a softer version of a harder word. So he was this white guy who used to show up with the Caesar cut, and he was like maybe 100 pounds soaking wet. Okay, like, and he wore these baggy shirts, like South Pole shirts, baggy jeans. He going, they need to donate, man. I don't even. I was out on day, man. I don't even know what they doing. People get mad at me all the time. So his name was Sean Lutz. I've looked for this guy online. I can't find him. I would do anything. If anybody out there listening can find Sean Lutz from the Pittsburgh, he's probably dead. but he was such a bad comic. He's one of the all-time, like when I think of like the worst comedians I've ever seen in my life.
That's saying
something. His closing bit was he would be on stage. And he'd be like, man, you see, like, you've been walking through the hood. You see how like mailman be in the hood. And like the audience is just like their jaws are on the tables, like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? He goes, man, now you see like a mailman in a good neighborhood, and he walk around, he put the stuff in the mailbox. Mailman in my neighborhood, man, he walk in, he hear a dog bark or a gunshot, and he's like, oh man, fuck this. And then he would pull out a bunch of mail and he'd whip it into the audience and he'd pretend like he was running off the stage.
Uh-huh.
It's like a little act out.
This is great. Can I book this guy?
I wish. So this was at a club that I was working at. So they used to have like a mic.
Yeah.
And I used to like me and the other guy that were like the newer guys that were like working the club. Part of our penance of being new to the working at the club was we had to run the open mics.
Sure.
And so I remember one night, it was like my week to host.
Yeah.
And I come in and they're like, here's the list of people that signed up. And I'm like, okay. And I'm going through it. And I see the name Isaac. Just one name.
Yeah.
And I go, who's Isaac? I was like, does he have a fucking last name? And they're like, oh, that's one of the other guys who was working there. He goes, oh, that's fucking Sean Lutz. And I go, the fuck did you write Isaac for? They're like, he wants to be called Isaac now. And the person's like laughing as they're telling me this. I'm like, all right, this is bullshit. Okay? So I go up on stage and I'm like, I'm bringing people up and I know he's next. And I see him over, he's pacing, okay? And I'm like, all right, so okay, he's next. So I go up on stage and I go, all right, everybody, keep it going for so-and-so. I'm like, all right, you ready for your next comedian? And everybody claps. And I go, all right, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Sean Lutz. And I come off stage, right? Sean Lutz goes up there. And he gets on. I'm like, man, I don't know who Sean Lutz is. Sean Lutz, I don't know who that is, man. My name is Isaac. And I'm like, oh, he's changed his name to Isaac? Does the exact same act, which, by the way, featured like a good 2 minutes of your mama fat jokes.
Nice.
He does what? He does the bit where he throws the mail.
Gotcha. Gotta.
Which one time
does he have to prepare the mail, which, or is it just like old bills?
The best part is he wouldn't even wait till after the show was over. As soon as his set ends, he's like a mouse going between tables picking up pieces of mail because, like, he had to use the same mail every fucking week.
Hell yeah.
So he comes up to me off stage, and I'm like, when I go back up, I'm like, oh, get up for Isaac. And he's waiting for me after I get off stage. I come walking up. I go, oh, hey, man. I was like, good set. And he, you know, as you lie, it's when you run a work for a place. And he goes, hey, man, I'm done being Sean Lutz. And I go, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What the fuck's up with that? He goes, man, Isaac is Hebrew for laughter. And I remember, I'll never forget the guy next to me, another comedian. He just looks, he's like doing the thing where he's like not paying attention, but he heard that.
Yeah.
And I'll just never forget the image of his head whipping around. He's like, that can't be true. And like, and this kid goes, Sean Lutz goes, nah, man, I read that. And the other comic goes, there's no way, one, you fucking read, and there's no way, two, that's true. He's like, I guarantee you, he's like, Isaac is not the Hebrew word for fucking laughter. And like, Sean Lutz comes back like 2 weeks later, and he's Sean Lutz again. And I go, I was like, hey, what happened with Isaac? He goes, yeah, man, like, I just got beat me. All right, so that's it for this week. Rob Rigo, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Nick.
Where can people check out all this stuff with Grove?
You guys can follow our Instagram and our YouTube channel, Grove34 Studio, and then Grove34 on YouTube. Also, Roasted at Grove34 is the account we're working on right now to try to make that super fun. So if you want to follow that and listen to some roast battle jokes. Do you ever roast? I feel like you'd be a great roaster.
I used to.
Yeah, you should do that again.
I just got tired of it.
Yeah.
There's only so many things you can say.
Yeah.
I feel like after a certain point, like, you're hearing the same roast jokes. That's why I haven't gone to a roast in a long time.
Subscribe to our account to hear those jokes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. My bad.
Well, thanks, Nick.
And do you have a personal?
Yeah, you can follow me at Almost Rob Rigo.
Almost Rob Rigo.
Yeah.
On Instagram?
Yeah, the IG.
And the IG, okay.
You've been listening to the Problemos Podcast. Listen to all past and future episodes wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify and Google Podcasts. Contact the show by addressing your electronic mail to problemospod@gmail.com.